Welcome back, everyone, to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I'm your host, Meg Krueger, and today I'm excited to invite my guest, Andy Gossel, onto the series for the first time. And we're actually going to be launching a new campaign of sorts with a working title. I'm not sure what I'm stuck on yet, but how to brand yourself, how to gain visibility, how to advocate for the industry, what have you. All good things, all with the same goal of, you know, advocating for our industry, advocating for groundskeepers. And Andy is someone who's doing a great job of that. He's active on social under two different handles, I believe. We'll get to the bottom of that. And he's somebody that has had an interesting route to turf. So I'll let him introduce himself and then we'll get into some of the questions. Andy, take it away.
Thanks, Meg. As she said, my name is Andy Gossel. I am the director of field operations for the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, which is the AAA affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. And we are at this point about a week and a half away from our opening for the 2022 season, which will be my first full season. I came in about the second game of the season last year. So okay. Technically it's my second year, but really my first opening day at AAA in this position.
Congratulations. That's very exciting.
Oh, thank you.
Even more so, thank you for taking the time to meet with us, because I'm sure it's busy in your part of the world right now.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of activity going on around the ballpark here in the last week or two and leading up for the next week or two, leading up to opening day with sponsorship signs getting changed and stadium cleaning, all the different things that goes on around the field, plus what we have to do preparation-wise to get the field ready. So, yeah, there's a beehive of activity for sure.
And so I kind of alluded to this in the intro, but to get confirmation from you, you're operating on Twitter, at least, under Andy Gossel. Are you also the man behind the Iron Pigs ground crew
handle? I am, yes.
Okay. Yep. Perfect. That's what I figured. And, you know, you're doing a great job of kind of documenting on both of those and giving love to both channels. And I'm excited to kind of ask how both of those came about. But I think a great place to start is really to share your story on how you kind of made it to turf, because I know it's a unique one.
Yeah. You said kind of a winding path. I think I've kind of described it as the least traveled path to AAA baseball ever.
Nice.
But for those people that do follow me or know me, I've spent 24 years in education and kind of did turf on the side. So most people will start out when you're young in turf because you don't make very much money and then decide to get out. And while a lot of those people were getting out, I kind of jumped in. So it's either very wise or very stupid, one or the other, but depending on how you look at it. But I've loved it. I've done it for a long, long time. Growing up, I had a background in the green industry to some extent. My dad was in excavation and owned his own business for 54, 55 years. And one of my brothers took that over and does similar work now. And then my other brother owned his own landscaping business for probably close to 30 years now. So, and I worked for him end of high school and through college. So had some experience there. And then as I got into education, started coaching and dealing with fields, and the fields that were at the school where I started at were poor to say the least. Mm-hmm. And so had said, you know, ran into a couple people that really mentored me and got me started. And hey, here's how to build a mound, and here's what you need to do fertility wise. And, mm-hmm. you know, all those different things, and how to deal with infield mixes and choose an infield mix and all those different things that you learn over the years. And, you know, I was blessed to have those guys pour into me, and, you know, we were able to turn that field around within, I think I was there 6 years. And by the time we left, it was went from very bad to STMA field of the year. Wow. For high schools and parks and rec. So, and then after that, I, you know, was in between jobs and looking and considered going to work for the Orioles at different times and other grounds jobs. And the Lord just never worked that out timing wise. And I ended up moving to Indianapolis, Indiana, where I was there for 18 years as a high school athletic director and baseball coach. But then I still maintained fields, both at the school, and then for the last 11 of those 18 years, was on the game day grounds crew for the Indianapolis Indians, which is the Pirates AAA team, under Joey Stevenson as the head groundskeeper there. So, and loved every minute of doing that sort of thing, and you know, learning from Adam, who was his assistant for most of those years, and Joey, and picking their brains and doing that sort of thing. And then as I was in between jobs last year, this opportunity came, opened up and came forward, and I was blessed to be able to get it. And the timing was weird because within a week and a half of applying for the job, I was starting the job. So, but you know, it was right before the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And it was a great fit for us, both with the job itself, but then also being able to move back closer to family geographically. So my family, that's great for my family, to be able to be closer to grandparents and, you know, all those different things that we didn't have the opportunity to have the 18 years we lived in Indiana.
Yeah. And I don't even have to ask you, you know, how important mentors were in your journey, because you've just, your story is a testament to that. You know, they really, like you said, poured into you, and, you know, look, you know, now you're running the show yourself. And that's really cool to see. I love stories like that.
Yeah. And those guys, you know, there's way too many to name. And I mentioned a couple, but even now, as being a AAA head groundskeeper, you know, again, partly because I came here kind of in the roundabout way and maybe don't have quite the depth of experience that somebody my age might have if they had been in the industry for the last 25 years. But I'm still texting or calling guys on the regular, go, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, I'm going to try and do that, or I'm having this issue. And,
yeah,
you know, I've got a great network of people around me that, you know, over my time, both being in Indiana, but then also when I was in Maryland, and then also relationships that I've built through what was STMA, but is now SFMA, mm-hmm. You know, and being able to just call or text and say, hey, what do you think? I've got this issue. What's the best way to attack it? And, you know, I'm able to rely on a lot of guys that are willing to share. And that's a great part of this industry.
Definitely. And is that kind of how you were receiving information beforehand? Or when did you start kind of like navigating the turf Twitter world and all the different like social outlets that are out there for sharing knowledge that way?
It was a lot of personal relationship early on when I first started back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But then it obviously, as social media blew up, I think I maybe got on Twitter in 2012, 2014, somewhere along that line. And a lot of it for me was just gathering information more than branding. You know, I'd post something if I thought I had some really neat shots or fields look good, or even to ask a question. There's sometimes where you can post something on social media and within minutes, people that you really don't even know other than through social media will be hitting you back up with, hey, try this herbicide, try this growth regulator, or that looks like this. You might want to consider doing, taking these steps to correct it. And then obviously, you know, I think all of us are proud of what we do. So being able to post our work when it looks good, sometimes we probably need to post it a little bit more often when it doesn't look quite as good, instead of just all the beauty shots. But, you know, that was how I got into it and just kind of managed my way through just trying to figure that out and learn things. And you get to quote unquote meet people, through social media. And my background, my other job at the time as being an AD, I was in charge of the athletic website and social media. So mm-hmm. I was running that as well. And so was able to definitely get on that learning curve to how to manage Twitter, mm-hmm. which is what I had been on the longest. And then a couple of years back, I also ended up on Instagram just because my kids were on Instagram more than Twitter and, you know, those sort of things. And that's kind of taken off and become bigger in terms of the turf industry, where it was primarily more Twitter before. So that's kind of how I've started and done what I've done. And so, like I said, my previous job also kind of lended itself to getting involved with it. And I've just tried to keep going with it, as I've transitioned.
Definitely. And again, just from, you know, what you've shared, it seems like it was definitely an organic effort behind kind of like branding yourself, because started out where you just wanted to ask questions, get in touch with other people in the industry. But now that you've kind of seen, you know, what it can do, how important do you think that visibility is for, you know, even if you're someone starting out or someone who's been a groundskeeper forever, like how important is it for us to kind of have that visibility in the industry?
I kind of look at it, and if you ask my wife or my kids, I probably spend way too much time scanning my screen and looking at social media stuff. But I try and look at it like social media is not real life.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you're going to mostly see everybody's best moments and great moments and stuff like that. So, you know, I take that with a grain of salt that most of us live most of our lives without social media for the longest time and came out at least semi-normal. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an end all be all where, man, you just can't do this job without it. Mm-hmm. However, you know, I think from a standpoint of getting your name out there for if you wanted to climb the ladder, or, you know, grow in your profession, to getting ideas from other people, asking questions, those sort of things. And if nothing else, it's kind of a living resume to an extent.
Definitely.
Where now when you send a resume, you put your social media handles on there, because they can very quickly mm-hmm. scan through a couple minutes and see hopefully great work, or at least, you know, what you do with it. So I think it's an important piece. It can be a great tool to utilize, but by no means do I think it's absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I could get by without it, although it does give me some chuckles and things to laugh at from time to time, as well as ideas for what other people are doing.
Of course. And so logistically, you know, how did you come about, you know, running your own page and then running kind of like the grounds crew page? As far as like, if somebody is wanting to do this, you know, there's two routes that they can take. Is they can brand themselves personally as a groundskeeper, or they can, as you've done, you know, brand the whole crew where you're featuring everyone who's on the game day staff and, you know, behind the scenes workers. And so those are like two nice routes that people can take. So logistically, how did that kind of come about for you?
I think organically it came about for me because I was on my own and I was doing one for the school at the time.
Okay.
And then I never really gave it too much thought until a buddy of mine who had done one for his job,
mm-hmm.
he said to me, made the comment to me one time, he's like, I really wish I had done it your way, because there's certain things, whether it's family stuff, whether it's mm-hmm. about your faith, or I know some other guys will post a lot of political beliefs. There's certain things that I would not post on Iron Pigs Grounds Crew handle, whether it's social, whether it's Twitter or Instagram, because we're on both, that I would put on my own, my personal one. You know, I think there's a lot of times, just because one, I'm very proud of my work, and then two, I'm a workaholic, so that's a big part of who I am, that a lot of my stuff from work ends up posted on my personal accounts as well. But if you look at my personal accounts, there's things on there with family or my faith or whatever that I don't post on the other. And, you know, just trying to, you always want to be careful to that you reflect your employer well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's certain people that, hey, that always put it in their bio. Hey, these beliefs are not endorsed by my employer or whatever. I've never gone that far, but I've just tried to keep the two separate because of that. I mean, that's kind of the way I started. And then when I got here, there was already a Twitter account in place that they weren't using very much. And so we started using it more. And then some of my younger grounds crew guys said, man, we've got to get Iron Pigs Grounds Crew on Instagram as well. So honestly, I'm trying to manage four, and it's like, oh, I put it on two and forgot to put it on the other two.
Full-time job.
So there's a little bit of that too. But for me, it wasn't an intentional thought when I started, but became one when I came here, just because of comments that I'd gotten from other people.
And I'm so glad you brought up like what the personal route allows you to do, and also, you know, what a corporate account would allow you to do, because that's something I always start off when someone asks for help here about, you know, I want to create a Twitter to interact with my customers. And I always say, okay, like, do you want this to be a personal thing where you connect with them as friends, or a pioneer facing sales rep? And I think you brought in a lot of good points. Like, I have a personal Twitter that, you know, it's branded as like, I'm the content specialist at Pioneer, but it's under my name. So I get to put a picture of my son doing something stupid up there and you know, share that side of it too. Cause I think that's, you know, another way to relate to people, but can totally respect that some people would maybe just want to take it on the grounds crew route, or, you know, they don't want to be the face of any field or campaign. They want the work to speak for itself. So that's another way to kind of do that. So I love that you're kind of doing both. Cause it really allows, like you said, when you post something on the Iron Pigs like page, then you can go and retweet it from Andy's page, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of give both. So I love that part of it. And so that kind of leads into my next question about, you know, now that you've kind of done both ways and you've been doing it for a while, like, how has this sharing and the visibility really impacted your current gig for the better?
Well, honestly, kind of going back to what you said about whether it was intentional or organic, mm-hmm. it started out organic. And then as I got here and even accepted the job, and then I've had friends that I've known for years would ask me questions like, is that a full-time year-round job? Do in the off season? And that was, what do you do in the off season became like the most asked question I would get. Mm-hmm. And so as we started going through the off season, I started hashtagging it and then didn't continue hashtagging it all the way through, but basically became hey, here's a quick snapshot of some of the different things that we did all in the off season. Now, next year, you know, will I post quite as often because we're maybe doing some of the exact same things? I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But, you know, some of the things that we did in terms of servicing equipment or building chalker boxes or, you know, fall renovation projects and then spring renovation projects, or, you know, our job, we get stretched in the off season to help with ops, stadium mm-hmm. operations stuff of setting this up, cutting down trees, scraping, prepping for paint, you know, whatever. So I just tried to give it, because I got that question so often, just tried to answer that a little bit with some of the snapshots. Now, some of the really glorious things that we get to do in terms of, you know, cleaning out storage areas or cleaning bathrooms or, you know, all those fun things that you maybe get to do in the off season as well. I was intentional to not make it on the social media because nobody really wants to see some of that stuff, but some of the more unique things, both to answer that question, but also then to highlight our job. I mean, you mentioned earlier, our job is, most of us like to stay in the background and don't want to be the face, because if you become the face, it's usually because something bad happened. Yeah. If somebody knows your name, it's because, you know, there was an issue on a field, somebody slipped, somebody got hurt. You didn't get the tarp on in time and you looked silly trying to get it on in a windstorm or whatever. And so most of us want to stay in the background and let the field speak for itself. Yet at the same time, you know, there's a vast labor shortage in our industry, and there's lots of reasons for that. But one of which is most people don't fully understand what we do.
Yeah.
And what it takes and the amount of time and effort and the different jobs and things that go into this industry and this profession. And so I think it's a huge part of what not only us as individuals, but SFMA, each of the different, you know, like Pioneer or other companies that are sponsors of this industry and are big in this industry, or for that matter, Major League Baseball and the NFL mm-hmm. and MLS, to highlight almost kind of like what the PGA Tour does with some of their golf course superintendents have become much more visible and what they do compared to, you know, other mainstream sports. And I think that's a big, big deal for us to put out there and be visible, mm-hmm. not from a, hey, look at me and want to become Twitter famous. And because most of us don't really care about that to a large degree, but it does promote the industry. And it does, you know, there's lots of discussions over the last 3 to 5 years, and even more so moving forward, that, hey, who's going to be the next crop of groundskeepers in professional baseball moving forward in the next 10 to, you know, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And if we're not attracting those people and getting them into turf schools or internships and developing them for the job industry, for this industry, for the green industry, there's going to be a significant issue even more so down the line. So I think it's a big thing for us to promote the industry, and sometimes the good, always, you know, sometimes the bad as well. Mm-hmm. Like everything else, it's not all good days, but there's a lot of good days in this job. And so I think we promote that and encourage more people to be part of it. It just benefits us and them.
100%. And you touched on so many of the things that, you know, we really are hoping a campaign like this would address, in the sense that, you know, just putting those most asked questions out there and a response to them, in a sense, combats those common misconceptions that we often hear. You know, oh, you just mow grass, or yeah, what do you do when the team's out of town? Like you're just on vacation, right? Like all of those misconceptions that we hear, like a simple, you know, what you said, like you just putting out there, oh, here is what we do. Something like that can catch fire and, you know, really help combat some of those issues. And then again, the big one being the labor shortage, and how do we inspire the next generation to really consider a turf career? And that's, you know, the goal with some of this visibility and branding efforts. So, you know, if you had to talk to somebody who wanted to maybe start doing this tomorrow, you know, what are some of the things that you could, you know, give them as a cheat sheet to get started?
Well, I think, you know, we already touched on the one that I would keep them separate, personal and business, because you're going to change jobs, and then, you know, how that affects or changes your social media is going to be different. So that would be a big one. Mm-hmm. Second thing, in a job like this or a lot of other jobs, you've got to have blessing and of your bosses and your company. And, you know, even some of our media guys that are in like media relations within our organization are like, dude, you're putting a lot of stuff out there. It's pretty cool stuff. A lot of stuff that, you know, people that aren't at the ballpark don't normally see. Those of us that maybe sit up in the press box, you know, when the team, you know, during the day or when the team's on the road, see you do all that stuff, but a lot of the people don't. And so they've been happy with that. But then also just making sure that something you're putting out is going to be appreciated or okay with your bosses. And, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Well, I find it's probably a little safer to ask permission than ask forgiveness. I'll give you a great example. we have a construction project going on here at the stadium right now that started last week. And I didn't really think too much of it. And I posted a picture of it. And later in the day, my boss was like, sending a mass email to everybody in the organization saying, hey, we're looking for ways to announce this. So please don't put anything else on social media. And so I kind of backtrack and I want to apologize to him because I hadn't checked with him and it was okay. And then to delete a couple of posts. So you always make sure that what you're putting out there is going to be a great reflection and stuff that your boss wants announced or for people to see. And so, you know, some things, a lot of things are that we post are just common sense. I don't have to ask permission every single time I post something, but certain things like a construction project or this event or that event, you know, it's always good to have that blessing that, hey, that's a good, they're okay with it, what you're doing. In our industry, it's about entertainment. You know, it's definitely about baseball and, you know, competition, but a big part of the industry is entertaining fans and getting them to come back to the ballpark and be interested and be engaged. And so that's just another way for us, another avenue. Because there's people that follow me that don't follow Iron Pigs that started following Iron Pigs. And then there's a lot of people that follow Iron Pigs that once our name, Iron Pigs Grounds Crew, got out there, are starting to follow us, that I have no idea who they are. They're just random fans of the team or this or that, and they follow us and like things and different things like that. So always having that blessing of the organization that you're fulfilling the mission of what they want to do, and, you know, in line with what they want to do, is always a big piece of it too.
Definitely. And, you know, for people that may be weary of this, or, you know, are old school and want to be that, you know, magic elf working in the background, they can always, you know, still create a Twitter, and, you know, create an Instagram and just retweet or like all your stuff.
Absolutely. And it's, like you said earlier, you know, you could do it as an organization and not put your personal name on it.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Twitter was there even before I got here. And I think from what I had been told, some interns had really got it going a couple years ago, and it kind of like wasn't being used very much. And then, you know, when we transitioned, they said, oh yeah, this is out there. And so we just kind of picked it up and ran with it and added a whole bunch of content to it. And then the Instagram came along after that too, really by one of my crew, one of my game day crew set it up and posted the first couple things. I'm like, and I think one of my kids said, hey, did you do this? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I saw it and I'm like, and then it came out of where and how it got started. And he had done a great job getting it started and gave me access to it. Some of the like time-lapse videos and stuff that we posted early on were his brainchild and his start with the Instagram.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I love. I loved some of those time-lapse videos. And I think those are so, you know, it's something that like for somebody watching that, like, wow, that's all that goes into, you know, pregame prep. And another post of yours that I loved was when your family came out and was helping you edge the field. I thought that was a great shot. And like you said, just another way to, you know, just advocate for this role, because it is so unique and there are so many misconceptions about it. So is there anything I didn't touch on that you would want to make sure, you know, people know about your journey or